to be some of these people that we read about in the Bible. Because as Rachel said earlier in our service, they were just ordinary people going about their ordinary lives when all of a sudden God breaks in and asks them to do something extraordinary. So I want us just to imagine a bit what it must have been like and to think about how that might challenge us a little bit. One of the things that I noticed straight away when I read that story and when I saw it on the screen is that although Moses met with God that day, he wasn't actually anywhere special, was he? He was actually just at work. He was taking his father-in-law's sheep out. He'd got a new job. He'd joined the tribe of Midian after a bit of a bumpy start. He was a bit like, you know, does anybody know missionary kids? Anybody got any friends whose parents were missionaries? Yes, I have too. And they're often called third-generation children because actually they don't fit in anywhere. Usually they've been born in Britain and then they've gone straight off to serve their parents in somewhere where they probably love it, but actually it's not their culture. But then by the time you've lived in that culture for all your life growing up and you come back to Britain, that's not your culture either. And so there's some kind of third culture that you need to find where you might feel at home. Well, Moses was very much like that. He was born into his culture in the Israelites, in Egypt. And then, if you remember from the beginning of the story, he was taken out of that, wasn't he? He was discovered in the basket to save his life. And he grew up amidst the royal family of Egypt. Well, that's a completely different culture. And then when he tried to kind of get back with his own culture, well, it was disastrous, wasn't it? Because he didn't really know who they were. He didn't know who he was. And so finally, when he's run away into the desert, he's found his crowd. He's found his tribe. He's at home with Midian and he's got a job. He's married a lady called Zipporah, who I'm always tempted to call Zippy for short, but then that conjures up all sorts of different images for those that grew up with Rainbow. And he's started a family and he's really settled. And he's just out at work one day when suddenly he meets with God. And God says, you're in a holy place. Take off your shoes. Now, I want to do a bit of an experiment here and don't feel you've got to do it if taking off your shoes is a bit of a struggle. Because I know when I put my shoes on now, I have to make all sorts of groans and noises that I never used to before I was 35, which was last week, obviously. But if you can take your shoes off, and don't worry if your feet are a bit smelly, can't be as bad as ours, we've been living in a field for the last week. Just take your shoes off if you can, and pop your feet on the ground. And just feel what the ground feels like under your feet. Now, I'm on the wood up here, but you're on the carpet, aren't you? Does it feel special to you? It does feel special to you, Jay, does it? Does it feel different without your shoes on? It does, doesn't it? Well, it's very important, actually, sometimes, for us to remember that wherever we are is holy ground. Because wherever we are, God can meet with us. And you might, I hope you do, come in through these doors on a Sunday morning and expect to meet with God. I really, really hope you do, because that's what we're coming to do together. But I wonder if you have that same expectation when you go to work, or when you go to school, or when you walk down the road to get the paper. Because God met Moses right in the middle of his everyday working week, somewhere he'd probably been 1,000 times, and yet it was holy ground. You coming to do this talk with me, Jade? That would be great. I could do with some company. It's a bit lonely up here on your own. Well, and then when Moses met God, he seems, and not surprisingly, if you stood there and there was a bush in front of you burning but not burning, you might feel a bit funny about who you were, a bit of a funny sight, wasn't it? Hey? Well, Moses didn't quite seem to know who he was, did he? He certainly didn't seem to know who God was. And he asked a lot of questions about who God was. And it's tempting, isn't it? When we read these stories, we tend to think, well, you know, if I met with God face to face, I'd be sure to know who he was. I'm sure, you know, if God ever spoke to me face to face, I'd know exactly who he was. And yet here we have Moses face to face with God, and he doesn't know who he is. And we might think that that's peculiar to Moses, but actually what we read about when Jesus met with people, he had to explain who he was every single time. There they were. People were face to face with the Son of God, and he had to explain who he was. And in fact, the writer of the Hebrews says that to us, those of us that live after Jesus came, that we have to be on the lookout because we might well be entertaining angels unawares. He knows, or she knows, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, they know that actually it's difficult to pick God out sometimes. And we need to be on the lookout. And sometimes we have to understand who God is through other people. And that's why God very graciously says to Moses, I'm the God of your forefathers. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Just so there isn't any mistake, I'm that God who called your family right from the beginning. I'm the same one. And God might well be saying to us this morning, if you're a bit confused about who God is, I'm the God of Rachel. I'm the God of Sylvia. I'm the God of Alan. I'm the God of Benji. I'm that same God who meets with your friends, who meets with your family. It's that same God. But you know, sooner or later, just like Moses did in front of that bush, we have to realize that he's not just the God of our family or our friends. Actually is our God too. And when we discover that, we discover something new about him, don't we? We discover who he is. But a thing happens to Moses when he's standing there in front of that bush. He's not quite sure who he is either. Do you ever have that problem, Jade? I bet you don't. I bet you're quite sure about who you are. But sometimes when you get older, have you ever had this problem? It's been a recent thing for me, maybe the last 10 years. I actually sometimes have to think about how old I am and I can't remember. Do I need to start taking tablets? Is that, you know, it's common, isn't it, to sometimes think, I'm not sure who I am anymore. And when circumstances change, Alan's circumstances changed last week. Some of you will have picked up on Facebook that he's not retiring. He's having a career break. But all our married lives, he's been a doctor, and now he's not. He's a different person. You can't define yourself by what you do, but lots of us do, and sometimes we have a bit of a personality crisis. And Moses is having a complete personality crisis in front of this bush because God's asking him to do something that he's just not comfortable with. God's asking him to be someone he just doesn't want to be. He just doesn't recognize in himself at all. He's got comfortable with who he is and how he is. He's settled, he's got married, he's got family. And you know what? Not knowing who we are or what we might want to do is really common. In fact, Jeremiah says, the human heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So actually, not knowing who we are and not knowing ourselves is a really, really common thing. And just like Moses, when he was stood in front of that bush, we can sometimes fall short of what it is and who it is God is calling us to be because we don't quite see ourselves in the way that God does. See, standing in front of that burning bush, all Moses could think about was, no one's going to believe me. I can't relate to that culture because I didn't grow up in it. And I don't even know who you are. So who's going to listen to me? And God doesn't see any of those things as a barrier. He just knows that Moses is the one he's calling. And that's who God sees in Moses. Well, I wonder how many of us, like Moses, would be tempted to settle for the comfortable version of ourselves. Especially when we get to middle age, and Moses was middle aged by this point, but he was just about to start his big stuff for God. And it goes well on into his 70s, 80s. In fact, he was about 120 by the time God had finished with him. So those of you who are older, you are not off the hook yet. Moses really discovered who he was when he took God at his word and he answered the call. And the final thing that happened to Moses in front of that bush is that even though he was confused about who God was, even though he was really, really confused about who he was himself, once he'd had that encounter with God, he just knew he had to go. And if we read on into Exodus, we realize that he goes home and tells his poor wife that he's got to leave, that he's got to go back home to Egypt, and he's got to do this amazing thing. And in fact, one of the wonderful things about the story of Moses is that all that comfortableness that God had placed him in, his wife and his children and his very, very wise father-in-law, are all incredibly important in the journey to come. If you read through in Exodus, really helps Moses out when he's really out of his depth. So that comfortableness is important, but Moses knows that he had to respond, that he had to respond to the call of God. And he can only see the first bit, can't he? He can only see the bit that God's asking him to do, which is huge enough, rescuing his people and taking them off into Egypt, the land that flowed with milk and honey. As veggie tales say, it sounds a bit sticky, but, you know, good place to be. What he can't see is the massive plan that God has for all people everywhere. And 1,000 years later, there's another call on another person who feels completely inadequate. A teenager, Mary, is asked to take her place in the big story. And after she's met with God too, she knows she doesn't have a choice. So I want to ask us this morning, I wonder what call on our life might we be trying to ignore? What call on our life might we be trying to say we're just not good enough, we're not fit enough, we don't have the skills, perhaps we're too comfortable? Is it a call to be a disciple of Jesus? To take that plunge? To accept that there's stuff we don't know, stuff we don't understand, but to answer that call anyway? Maybe it's a call to take a risk and change your life, to fall in with God's plans. Whatever it is, there is no ignoring God. And wherever you go, you will be on holy ground and he will be able to meet with you. Moses knew he had to go. I wonder what we might need to do today. Feel free to put your shoes on. Because when God's called you and you've got to go, you need your shoes on.